Great privilege, ma, to welcome you tonight and to welcome Dr. Onike and Eli Ajite. Welcome, ma. Welcome to Tabitha Arrives. Amen.
Thank you.
Yes, ma.
Thank you. We're really glad to be here tonight. And you just see the dancing and the fellowship. it's heartwarming. I feel very relaxed. I feel like I'm amongst family.
Yes, you are, ma.
and I feel at ease. Feel uplifted.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So because we're both still at work. We both work in a forensic psychiatric unit. And for people who don't know, forensic psychiatry, we see patients who have a mental illness and who have also come into contact with the criminal justice system. So they committed a crime. And sometimes it's a very serious crime, like killing someone or rape or arson. But I really enjoy working here because I'm part of a team that helps people to restore their lives and get them ready to be members of society again and to contribute positively. So we're going to be we really thank Pastor Doris Ajayi and her husband, Pastor Ajayi, for inviting us here tonight. It's a big honor. And it's also been quite therapeutic for me to look back over the journey of the last 50 plus years and just see God in action in everything. So I was discussing with Pastor Doris earlier on tonight that I did come, my journey to Christianity, it was it wasn't just like straightforward like that. And it's like God did so many miracles that I have to accept that yes, there is a God. And every day there's something or the other that happens. Even sometimes I have to say to my daughter, hey, am I seeing double? You can come and sit with me, you know. I'm not imagining it, am I? So that's been really good. So, Eli, would you like to introduce yourself?
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to start.
No, I'm Dr. Gita Junior. Yeah, Dr. Gita Junior.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. I'm Dr. Eloy JJ. What else would you like me to say?
And you can see, I was saying to Pastor Dory that Eli and I, one of the ways we've survived has been like, you know, when you have someone who can walk and someone who can not walk but can see. So Eli's been the one who can walk. And then I'm the one who can see. So he shoulders. And then I'll be the one saying, turn left, turn right. You know. So this is why she's asking me, what should I say? Because that's how it's been for the last 20 something years.
Yeah.
So the bits I haven't told you about is that I have a disability, and so I have a chronic illness that affected all the joints in my body. And it started from when I was young, when I was in secondary school, and it just got progressively worse to the extent now that I have to use a wheelchair for mobility. And also, I need help with all aspects of my personal care. So as you see how I look today, you know, my sister helped me to get ready this morning. So she's done my makeup, She's helping to put my wig on. Mm-hmm. She's helping to wear my underwear, dress, tights, everything. And that's the level of assistance I need. So I need assistance with personal care and with mobility. But by the grace of God, I'm working full time and in a forensic unit surrounded by patients who have a mental illness and have come into contact with the criminal justice system. And I'm safe. It's that in itself is a testament to the glory of God. And Ellie has been my carer since she was 10, because my illness got disability, it got worse in a progressive manner. So initially she was like doing little things in the house, and then she had to do more and more. To the glory of God as well, Ellie, she's a medical doctor now, she also got a first class honors degree in biochemistry before becoming a doctor. And even that is a miracle in itself. So we often get asked by people that how did you do it? And what we're going to do tonight is just to use our story to illustrate God's action. God's power in action. And the scripture that came to mind for me is Jeremiah 29:11, which says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord, plans to prosper you and to and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So we're going to use our story to illustrate this scripture. And Ellie, we were talking as well, Pastor Doris.
Yes.
Remember when we were talking earlier?
Yeah.
And you said we walk by faith, not
faith,
by sight.
Not by sight.
Yeah. And I was arguing with you.
Yeah.
So Ellie said to me, "But we do walk by faith."
Yes.
I said, "Yeah, really." But yeah. Don't you remember we applied for the Harvard medicine? I didn't know how I'm going to pay.
Yeah.
So I said it's true. So we're going to, because we have very little time. It's already
Hurry on. 8 to 8,
and we need to round up by 8:15. So we can't say everything tonight. I think we're going to end up having even more sessions. But we'll try our best to give you a flavor of God in action. So I will start by, so just hold that picture in mind of the level of my disability and Ellie in my and Ellie being my carer and combining this with her education and work. And then we're just going to share with you some of our achievements. So Ellie has kindly put them together. Well, some of them. Oh, who's disabled?
Pastor Doris, is it?
Yes.
Are you able to give us?
Yes. So I can give you. Let me just see where you are here. So we
thank
can,
you.
I can share your. Yeah. Make you co-host. Yeah. Okay. Accept. Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Hey, can everyone see that?
Yes.
Okay, let me just make it into the slideshow. Okay.
So this is where you are at. Ellie and I, but you can move on for this.
Okay.
We're going to show this at the start as a intro. Okay, so in terms of achievements, let me see. Okay. Uh, Okay, I don't have the NHS awards one. Anyway.
Okay. Isn't that the NHS awards for me?
No. So okay, let me the Nigerians in the group, you will know what I mean by the one that is sacking me the most. This one. So that's me there, looking very posh. So this is the reception of the Royal College of Psychiatrists in Prescott Street. So all the psychiatrists in the UK are all members of the Royal College of Psychiatrists. So this is like our headquarters. So I'm not, to become a member, you need to have passed your MRC psych exams. I haven't passed my exams yet, but my face is on there. In fact, I'm so, when this was put up, I was really, I just couldn't believe it that me, you know. Now, to give you an idea, in our trust here, so I'm a specialty doctor, my line manager is a consultant, and then there's a clinical director, and then, you know, they're all the consultants, you know, that's in this trust, and then in the UK, and it's my face that is up there. Can you see? And they asked me, I didn't even go searching for it. They asked me, you know, oh, Dr. Jete, would you mind if you put your photo? I said, okay, you know, and then they put it there. I didn't believe that it was going to happen, but it did. So anytime I go to the college, the first thing, oh yeah, Ellie, let's go to the board and then see whether my photo is still there and then take a photograph. Okay. The other one that's shocking me, by the way, to the non-Nigerians, how do you translate shocking? Like, well, I suppose that I'm proud of, isn't it? The other one, oh yeah, this one as well. This was on International Women's Day in 2021, where I was part of the lineup for the Association of Black Psychiatrists, you know. I told my boss at work, and then they circulated it in the trust. And you know, that time was when, because periodically there's people who will just be like trying to get you into trouble at work. And there were some people, you can feel them, they're gathering. And as they were gathering, that's when this, because when I told my boss, then she said we should tell the trust communications. And then they circulated this in the trust console. If I didn't even know, people called me at 6 a.m. in the morning, Dr. Getty, we saw your photo on the trust communications. So I was like, hey, and I had to check. So all my enemies, when they came and took their computers on, the first thing they saw. I had a good laugh that day. Anyway, okay, which one again? And then there's the interview with the Royal College of Psychiatrists. Again, this, I was minding my business. Okay, when Ellie was in medical school, I found out, because I've always followed Ellie's education very closely, and I found out that the Black students needed support, they needed speakers, and I said I would help them to get speakers. So I was looking for a speaker, I went for a conference. I didn't even have any business attending that conference because it wasn't related to my work, but they said we should go for a conference each year. So I said I would go. It was on domestic violence. And then there was a Black consultant there. So I thought, oh, she would be nice for the student, the medical student. So I went to talk to her. She already knew about it. Anyway, she agreed to come. We got to know each other. We kept in touch with her. And then what happened? She then got a CBE, you know, the Queen's Honor, from the Queen. And next thing we knew, she became one of the equality, diversity, and inclusion leaders in the Royal College. So all this time, we just kept in touch with her, just, you know, being friendly.
And then one day she was, I just greeted her, Happy Mother's Day. And then she said, Happy Mother's Day back to me as well, WhatsApp. And then she said, she hoped Ellie had looked after me. And I said, no, I didn't get breakfast in bed or anything like that. And then Ellie said, don't be telling people bad things about me, you know. So I said, okay. So I messaged her again. I said, Ellie is a very good daughter. You know, it's even because of how we started Inception, the mentoring group for medical students and those wanting to get into medicine. And that, and then I went on to tell her that in 2001, when everything was falling apart, that my husband had left. We were living on the 14th floor of a block of council flats. Is it lower down?
Yeah. Okay. Nichols Point. We were living on the 14th floor. I had very little money. My illness was getting worse. People were abusing me. You don't have a husband. People were afraid that I'll come and snag their husband. So it was really horrible. In my mind that time, I said, no matter what I lose, that as long as I look after my daughter is safe, my career is safe, and my daughter's career is safe, I don't care what else I lose. I know I'll get it all back. And then fast forward 20 years, I'm working as a doctor, my daughter is doing well, and now we are helping other families on their journey into medicine. So this woman said, I knew you had a story about me, but I didn't know to what extent. Can I share your story with other people? Let me relate it properly. So, and then next thing I knew, maybe a year later, I was invited to contribute to a conference at the Royal College, someone like me, because to encourage people that there's who are like me out there, who are Black, female, have a disability, that they too can also achieve. And then next thing, the Royal College came and asked me, can they interview me? So we said yes. Again, they came and interviewed me here at work. I managed to sneak Ellie into the video as my care. So and then we did the interview. Everyone was shocked. So that's another thing about God in action. But let me just let me just talk a little. Ellie, do you want to talk a little bit about your achievements as well?
Sure. Yeah. Uh-huh. So in terms of what I've achieved, I think for me, God has always been present in my life. One of the ways that I've noticed that is, so looking at the photo, so I grew up here in East London. And I think one of the things my mom was really worried about was that I would have a worse quality of life than the one she had in Nigeria, because we weren't living in the best conditions. But one thing she would always do is that she would tell me that we're going to move to a house. It's going to be a 3-bedroom house. You're going to have a garden. You're going to have all these things. And she used to say it so much that to the point where at one point I was like, is this ever going to happen? Because it seems to be taking forever. But she would always write it down and she would always pray about it. And I remember one day she came to me and she said, I've got the house. We're moving. And I was shocked because it just happened and she took me and it was the 3-bedroom house and we did have a garden. And that really taught me about the power of faith and the power of professing and praying about the things that you want. And even if you don't know how it's going to happen, God will find a way to make it happen. And another way that was demonstrated to me was when I was applying for medical school. So the first time around that I applied, I think we didn't really have a lot of information, and there were things that I didn't know, so I didn't get in. So the second time around, I applied after doing my degree in biochemistry. After you've done a degree, there are two routes that you can use to apply for medicine. So you can either apply for graduate medicine, which is shorter, it's 4 years instead of five, but you pay for 1 year and then the NHS or government pays for all the other years, or you can apply for undergraduate medicine, where because I'd done a degree already, I couldn't get student finance, so I would pay for 4 years and the government would only pay for 1 year. The issue with the graduate medicine route was that they had very few spaces, and because it was a lot cheaper, it was a lot more competitive. So I knew my chances were better if I applied for the undergraduate route. So like my mom said, when we were applying, we didn't know how we were going to afford it. But my mom encouraged me, and we just need to walk in faith. Just apply and believe that God will find a way to make it happen. Because I even remember that year, I was planning, because I just finished biochemistry, I felt like maybe there were a few things I needed to do to make my application stronger. So I was even going to wait a couple of years before I applied. But one of my mom's friends, who's also a mentor to both of us, said that I should apply this year. And, you know, that showed me that God, sometimes he doesn't always speak to you directly. He speaks through people around you. He raises people to help you. So I decided again to go by faith and apply that year. And I got in, and God made a way for me to pay for my education as well. Even to the point, because I remember I applied for four medical schools. I got three interviews, and two of the interviews, so I did one, and it didn't go so well, so I had a feeling that I was going to get rejected. And then the last two, they were on the same day. So one was at King's College in London, and the other one was what's the university again?
Queen Belfast.
Yeah, it was in Northern Ireland. So there was no way.
I remember that my carer, because she had to be in London.
I wanted to stay in London, but also there was no way I could attend both interviews at the same time, because they were too far apart. And I couldn't ask either of the medical schools to move the interview date, because medicine's so competitive. If you're asking stuff like that, they assume that you're not serious about going there. So I prayed, mum prayed, her friend as well. We all prayed.
We always, before any exam or anything, we will sing some songs. We had our special ones. The first one is, "It's not by might, it's not by my experiences."
Serious prayer. We prayed and we just went by faith and said that I'm going to go to the King's interview. And I got accepted.
Yeah. You know, I've just remembered something else again.
Yeah.
Nicole's point, so I was a council tenant, and I had the opportunity to get the flat as a first-time buyer. Okay. And then to buy the flat as a first-time buyer. And at the same time, we wanted to move to Newbury Park because the schools were better there. So if I bought the flat in, if I bought the Nichols Point, I wouldn't be able to buy the house in Newbury Park because I won't have enough to cover the mortgage. And if I bought the house in Newbury Park, I would lose the opportunity as first-time buyer. But God made a way, and we got both, So it's just, as we're even talking, I'm just remembering so many examples. But it's 2015, but we started late, so
you've got 5 more minutes on
that. So I'll just quickly give a background story to my story. So in terms of what we've talked about so far, we've talked about my disability, LB, my carer, and having all these achievements. Which people are really astounded by, even we were astounded by
I was born here in the UK, and then because my parents had come over, my dad for his PhD, he was a university lecturer, my mom was a nurse, and then I have five older siblings, and and then this is my younger sister, Bote, who is Papa Dorothy's our wife. So I was born here, went back to Nigeria with my parents, and then soon after that, my parents split up, and my mom took me with her to Lagos, which is when she met Bose's dad. And we lived in, I don't know if people know a place called Maroko in Lagos. It's no longer there, but it was a very impoverished area. There was no water, there was no light. We used pit latrines as toilets. And then we, for drinking water, we would collect water when it rained into buckets. And that's what we used, lanterns and everything. But I was really happy. It was a very happy childhood. It was actually in a very posh area of Lagos, and it was near the beach. And I have childhood memories of chasing crabs up and down the beach. I was really happy. And then when I was seven, my dad took me to live with him and my older siblings and my stepmother. And I was, of course, nobody told me, you know, we're now taking you from your mom to go and live with all these strangers, you know. They just took me. So I spent about 2 weeks crying. I want my mommy, I want my mommy. And I remember they let me eat whatever I like. So I ate fried plantain for the whole 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I was very bright academically in school. And went on to study medicine. And then during my house job, I met Ellie's dad, and then we got married, you know, so I was flying high. And then, of course, I'd always planned to come to the UK for postgraduate study in medicine. And then I came here, I was pregnant with Ellie, and then suddenly this nice picture of being married, you know, like ticking all the boxes, being married, having a daughter, and I had all the advantages. I was born in the UK, I was on benefits, I had a brother here that I could stay with, yeah, at least initially. And then everything just went down. So first of all, I couldn't work as a doctor because I had a daughter and I didn't have any support with childcare. And then later I was able to get my husband over, but after a few years, he left, the marriage broke up, and then I found myself basically stuck in, where's Nichols Point? Stuck in Nichols Point, you know, and it dawned on me that if I didn't do something, we would never get out of this place because it was like a catch 22. I remember then thinking that, okay, taking responsibility for where I found myself, and then thinking that, okay, nobody's going to come and rescue me from this place. I have to rescue myself. But what I didn't realize was that God had already made provision for me. It's like He already knew of this difficult journey ahead, and He had made provision. So for instance, I had a lot of support from my church. I've had a lot of support over the years from my church. And I got to know that church from one of the interviews I went for as an assistant in social services, where I met a lady there who also went for the same interview. She got the job, but she took my number and she followed up on me and brought me to the church. And if I wasn't in church when things went down, it would have been a totally different ballgame. The other thing was that in my bid, because when I first got to England, someone was promoting a marketing business, which I said, okay, I'll get into. It was free anyway. And through that, getting there, we had a lot of training on how to learn to relate to ourselves differently, learn to love yourself, and also how to relate to others differently, and how to change your attitude and all of it, because you need all of that to be able to become a good salesperson. So I actually underwent a period of self-development, but I didn't know all that time I was doing that was what would prepare me for this journey of getting out of Nicole's point and getting to where we are now. And I know it's time, but there are some things I learned in terms of self-development, and I'll just quickly touch on because I think it's useful. So one of the things I learned was that so one of the speakers was a minister of God. He was also a very successful businessman, and he talked about 8 principles. And the first is the principle of giving. And he said that you need to give, you know, and even if you don't have money to give, then give of yourself, give a smile, and, you know, give a word of praise, give. Second principle, the principle of vacuum, that you need to get rid of what you don't want in order to make room for what you do want. And that includes people, negative friends, people who bring you down, you know, old clothes, give, get rid of them. And the third principle is the principle of creation. And he said that you need to decide what you want and define it down. And I remember when we were going to get the house in Newbury Park, and I wrote down, you know, I have a 3-bedroom house, pot and bag, this and that and that. And we got it. And then the fourth principle was the principle of visualization. So once you've decided what you want, defined it clearly, you need to then keep it in front of you. Put photographs on the wall. If you want that house, go and take photographs, put it all over your wall. If you want a particular car, put it so that it reminds you. And then the fifth was the principle of affirmation, which is that which you want, then you affirm it. You know, if we check in the Bible, you will have scriptures supporting all these things.
Power of the tongue, all these principles actually come from the Bible.
You know, so you affirm it, and you affirm it in the present tense. I have this, I have that. And then the sixth principle, the principle of action. When you decide that this is what you want and all of that, then you take action, you know. Seventh one is the principle of discipline, which is that you do what you want, what you need to do, whether you like it or not, you know. And then the eighth principle was the principle of perseverance. But he said, which is that you never give up. So, but he said that the most important was your self-image, your self-esteem, like how you view yourself. And he gave an example that if he gave someone a thoroughbred horse to look after for a week, how many people will look after that horse better than they would look after themselves? That you need to value yourself. And that's one of the things that I've been doing all this time. So even being in a wheelchair, sometimes people try and put me down, like, you know, you're a nobody. I just look at them and I say, okay, well, we'll see who is somebody and who is nobody, isn't it? So so this helped, but the thing that struck me the most was the destiny helpers that God put in the world. Some of them, even before I started the journey, they were there, like Ellie's godmother, like somebody who came to prepare with me for my exams. So many, but we're out of time. We've gone over. So we'll have to, I think I kind of touched on single parents, education and disability, but I do think we need maybe have more sessions later so we can go in more depth. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tita. And Ellie, you look like you want to say one second talk, is it? Do you have anything to say?
Just,
yeah? I can't.
No, I'm saying thank you as well.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Thank you so, so much. Oh, wow, wow, wow. I don't feel like it should stop at all. I just want to hear more. But is there any question? We've got like 2 more minutes just to ask questions. If you have any question, you can type it or you can unmute. And Ellie, if you'd like to stop sharing now, please.
Okay.
Do you have any question for Dr. Ajitay's, please? You can unmute and ask your question, or you can type it and then I can read it out. Sisters, we've got 2-3 more minutes for this. If you've got any question, anything at all, any question at all, we're happy to take question. If it's prayer, you can also unmute and put your prayer requests up.
Hi, so this is Jennifer. I just really wanted to say how much your stories have really encouraged me at a time like this, and just to see that actually God works in mysterious ways. Mm-hmm. So long as you plug into God and trust him, you will always make a way. It's just so encouraging. I'm grateful that we're even recording this session that I will play for my daughter, you know what I mean? Because it's encouraging. And we thank you so much for your time, for the both of you, you know, to come, and may the Lord continue to bless you abundantly in all things. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you.
Prophetess Shayi, I see your hands up. Unmute, ma.
Wow. What can I say? Thank you so much, doctors, the 2 doctors in the house. Thank you so, so much. Because what you've done this evening, you don't even know it.
Mm.
You don't at all. I have faith, and I know that I have faith. But what you've done tonight is, you know, when you get a booster, and you say, get a booster. You have one, you get the booster, then you get another booster with the way they are doing it now.
Yeah.
That's what it does, though, because to be honest with you, I can relate to some of your stories, and I know Sister Doris know what and Pastor Doris know what I'm saying, and I'm still in it, because at times when you were talking about the 8 things that you need to do, I picked some of it and I said, so whatever I've been doing, is God actually telling me or teaching me, or even putting me in that position to do it, you know, cutting off some friends, you know, throwing some things away, trying. But then there's, like I always said, I am still not there. And I keep asking myself, do you know that what you've just done to me is that don't blame yourself. Keep on loving yourself. Because, you know, when you are knocking upon a door, and it just looks as if God refused to open. And you know you've been praying. And you know you've been trying, you yourself, you are reflecting on your life. You are trying to run away from sin. You are trying to guide your step according to what the Bible says, that the steps of the righteous are guided by the Lord. But still, this door is not opening. And then you start asking yourself, is that something that I've done that God is not answering me? How long am I going to remain in this position? Why would you call me as a, you know, as a woman of God, using me for other people's life, getting them their answers, but I remain in the same position? But you just told me now tonight to say, God is never late.
Yes.
But at his own appointed time, he will show up for you.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Amen.
I need to play this back, as one of our sisters said, and just keep playing it and let it resonate with me.
Amen.
Because, like, I don't know, I think Pastor Doris wanted to come and see me.
Yeah.
She sent me a message because she knows
me.
And, you know, it's someone that I speak to, and I said, look, I know I believe, but I am kind of losing it. How can I open up a business for more than a year and I cannot get anything out of it? And people that are coming behind me, they are doing well. What have I done to God? But I don't blame you, because as soon as I start saying that, he said, "You are nagging me again. You are nagging me again. You are nagging me again." Mm. And then I keep quiet.
Mm.
When it gets to say, "I can't even pray again. I'm a prayer, but I can't pray again." She just said, "Go and play music," because it got to that stage as if everything's just moving away from me. Why is it moving away from me? What else do you want me to do? Okay, tell me. If it's not something that you want me to do, tell me, and then I will leave it. I'll let go. But you told me now that I should go and take pictures, and which I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Place in all my rooms and be saying I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me.
Amen.
I am doing all things.
Amen.
Thank you so much, ma. Thank you, doctor. Thank you both, mom.
I am
beautifully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
Thank you,
ma. Thank you so much, Prophet Tesha. Sister Ruth, your hands is up.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Doctor. Thank you so much. It's such a timely message in this season. I just wanted to ask you, and Sabina, as like a mother, how did you manage the emotional side? Because dealing with rejection from the husband, rejection from the family, how, even though you've achieved all this stuff, how do you manage those aspects of the trauma? What did you do in order to overcome those challenges? Because you could achieve so much, but if you don't deal with the emotion, you can then destroy all the things that God has given you. So I just want to know how you overcame with the traumas and with your daughter explaining those traumas and rejection, please. Thank you.
Okay, so when Ellie's dad was leaving, what I did, I told Ellie, she was 8 at the time, because he hadn't told her. So I told Ellie that your dad is going to leave, but don't worry. What it means now is that we can eat McDonald's 24/7 if we like, yeah? Because her dad did.
It's actually what she told me.
He likes her eating McDonald's. And I said, the other thing, if we like, we live in Showcase Cinema. You know that Showcase in Beckton, the cinema, I don't think it's there anymore. So one of the things we used to do was to go and watch film, you know. So don't worry, you know. Film 24/7, McDonald's 24/7, and then Ellie, okay. You know, so that's what I've always done with her. I've been just put a positive spin on whatever it is, you know. In every, you know, every cloud has a silver lining. So just look for that silver lining, the good part. In terms of me personally, so I'm a very competitive person by nature anyway. So when I was growing up in Nigeria and in schools, I used to come first all the time. And the only time I'll come second, maybe the first term I'll come second, and then I'll come first. So not being able to work as a doctor in the UK, I found it very upsetting, you know, because I would meet my classmates all the time. And doctors, we always, you know, the first thing they're going to ask you, so what are you doing now? You know, and you don't want to be like, oh, you know, I'm not doing anything, you know. So I had to get back into medicine. And the other thing with my, with Ellie's dad leaving, I knew that I had to, you know, I just knew that I had to get back into medicine so that I would be able to provide for myself and my daughter. And I wasn't going to depend on whatever financial support he would give and the humiliation that might go along with that. So that was one of the things that helped me to focus. And I had a goal. So the goal was Ellie's education, and we had to leave Nichols Point so that we could move to an area with better schools. And it took a few years to get to that point. But after we got there, after I got a job as a doctor, I was on a rotation, and we were able to start looking for better schools for Ellie. This was when I now allowed myself to get in touch with those emotions. So I took all the emotions and put them to one side, focused on my goals. And then when I got to that point,
I cried for 2 weeks solid, you know. I sat down and then remembered everything and then cried, you know, and then got it out of my system. And that's what, I suppose, because as a doctor as well, you know, you're always doing an exam and you fail. My flab exam, everybody did the exam once. Me, I did the first part 4 times. So I would cry. Sometimes I would wail in the car. Let me get a song to sing along with the crying, you know. I'll do my crying in the rain and all of that. And then get it out of my system. So but focus on it's like you have to so the immediate goals, it was almost like an existential thing. I have to do this. We have, if I don't do it, we're going to you know, fall apart. So I have to focus, get that out of the way, and then have the luxury of crying. I hope that answers.
Sister Ruth, does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's kind of perfect in the sense on that pathway where just focus on the child's education and future, God knows, and thank you so much. Thank you.
And focus on the, so look for the positive. There's always anything. There's always a positive in there somewhere. You know. So look for that positive and focus on that. But deal with the pain as well. As in, if you need to cry, cry. If you need to be held, you know. But don't let it overwhelm you to the extent that you can't keep moving. You have to keep moving.
Amen. Oh, so don't let it overwhelm you to the point that you cannot keep moving. And this is a key point to us tonight, each and every one of us. Situations do come in life, but we must not allow it to overwhelm us. Thank you so much, Dr. Ajitase. God bless you. Thank you so much. If you still have questions, please, you can just privately send me a message and I will see how I can forward it to them and they can then respond back to you. But it's such a wonderful, just lift up your voice. Please help me to pray for them tonight. Ask God to continue to sustain them. Ask God to continue to bless them in the name of Jesus. Lift up your voice. Let's pray, sisters.